The first Harry Potter book was published in the UK in 1997 by then first-time author J.K. Rowling. Over the next 20 years, those books inspired a Harry Potter movie franchise, a theme park, spin-off stories, and more fan fiction than the internet knows what to do with. There are purists, however, who prefer Rowling's 7 original books for their Potter fix, still others who look to them for life lessons, inspiration, and comfort. Not unlike sacred texts. Vanessa Zoltan is co-host of the Harry Potter and the Sacred Text podcast, along with Casper Turkile. Producer Molly Donahue, our most avid Potter fan, spoke to Vanessa to find out more.
So Harry Potter has been a hugely successful series, but does it really work as a substitute for a book like the Bible?
Yes, we absolutely believe that Harry Potter can be treated just as much of a sacred text as the Bible. As an atheist, I don't believe that the Bible was handed down by God. So what is interesting about it is the fact that people treat it with faith. People engage with it with rigor. They ask questions of it. When they're struggling with it, they still have faith that whatever was put in there with intention and thought and meaning, and that they engage with it in community. And so we believe that by treating Harry Potter in the same way, with faith, rigor, and in community, that we can get the same blessings from Harry Potter that religious people can get from the Bible. And we also believe that we're offering a unique opportunity for people who, for one reason or another, do not feel as though a religious text can speak to them. We're offering them an alternative. You know, often people will feel traumatized by their relationship with their religion, or feel as though it was never accessible to them, or feel as though they weren't included in these scriptures. So it feels like a real joy and gift to be able to offer them an alternative way to engage with something in a deep and meaningful and spiritual way.
So the whole team is very qualified to be talking about sacred texts. What drew you all together and gave you the idea to start the podcast?
Luck. We all three of us were affiliated with Harvard Divinity School, and to some extent, this project is based off of my thesis research, and Casper had very similar interests, and so the professor who was overseeing my thesis put Casper and I in touch, and then the teaching fellow who oversaw my thesis met Ariana, who had very similar interests, and put us in touch. So it was similar interests, similar sensibilities, and then also amazing teachers who thought to put us in touch with one another.
So you do say in the first episode that the 3 most requested texts at Guantanamo Bay are the Bible, the Quran, and then Harry Potter. Seriously?
So I don't totally feel, I mean, yes, there are various articles about that. It's not something that we have a ton of recent information on, but that does seem to be the case. And it's the case in American prisons as well, that it is one of the top 10 most requested texts. It is the text that I'll just speak about in my own life. You know, I live with 24 Harvard freshmen, and I asked at orientation last week how many people have read Harry Potter, and all 24 of them raised their hands. And I really can't think of another book for which that would be true. These are kids. I have a student from Bhutan, I have a student from England, you know, and then from all 50 states, and everybody has read Harry Potter. So it definitely seems to be a unifying text. And then I've had 2 child psychologists write to me about how it is the primary text that they use in order to engage with children. And so it clearly seems to be not only a universal text, but a text that people use to heal.
So you start out, you set out your mission. There's going to be 199 episodes. Why is that?
That is the number of chapters in all 7 books. It does seem like there might be more like 210 episodes by the time we're all done. We're going to be doing an episode in between each book. And then we already had a special episode in this season. We're going to do different seasons for each of the different books. And we already had a special episode this season just because of travel schedules. So I'm guessing it will, hopefully, if, you know, we can keep working together, committing to a 5-year project is very aspirational, and any number of things could interrupt that. But we have promised to do our best to try to stick together.
So when we first realized it's 199, because that's how many chapters there are, it seems like a very faded number to sort of have that amount in the series by accident. But do you think there will be enough new material in each chapter for an episode?
Yeah, that's what we're counting on. I mean, we'll see, but I certainly think so. You know, it hasn't disappointed us yet. And it is actually the thing that gives us solace when we worry about whether we will have original things to say for 199 episodes. We remember that the text has original things to say in all 199 chapters. So I think so. I mean, the text changes so much, and she always offers us new characters and new themes and goes to new places. We enter the Ministry of Magic. We learn about the politics of running a school. We go to the Weasley's house. We, you know, travel all over the countryside. We see Quidditch matches, you know, on global scales. I think that so much happens in the books that I think that there's going to be an endless amount for us to excavate.
So this isn't the first novel you've looked at through the lens of a sacred text. How does that approach differ from a regular academic close reading?
The way that it differs from an academic reading, I think academics would be really offended by what I do. I don't apply any literary theory to the texts. I do not put the texts in conversation with other thinkers. I intentionally do not read anything about the author, because authorial intent is not something that's part of the conversation when we're treating something as sacred. So it was actually difficult as I was treating Jane Eyre as a sacred text. You get really curious about, you know, Charlotte Bronte and, you know, how she came up with all of this while living in the moors. And I intentionally kept myself from reading her letters. And actually, a new biography came out about the Bronte sisters that got rave reviews while I was doing my research. And I did not allow myself to read it because I didn't want to be tainted in my approach. I didn't want to be picturing, you know, Charlotte Bronte and wondering if my reading was the right reading. What was interesting to me was my experience of treating the text as sacred. And so although our practices are spiritually rigorous and we use traditional religious practices in order to engage with the texts in a rigorous way, they are not academically rigorous. We're not using any of the skills that academics would use in order to engage with the text.
Given that, do you think that any book could be read as a sacred text, or is the Harry Potter community particularly well-suited for this kind of project?
So Ariana and Casper have the same answer to that question. I have a different answer. So we think that a lot of things can be treated as a sacred text. Ariana and Casper would feel much more comfortable saying that they think anything could be treated as a sacred text. The precondition that we all agree upon is that it has to be something that you love, that if you love something, you can treat it as sacred. That said, I think we also all agree that Harry Potter is uniquely qualified to be treated as a sacred text. The fact that it's so easy to build a community over it, the fact that you can build a connection with an absolute stranger just by identifying what house you live in, the fact that there's such a clear message of love at the center of this text, the fact that it's such a generous fan community already. This is known sort of notoriously as one of the kindest fan communities out there, that's incredibly generous and very social justice oriented. So although we certainly believe that a lot more things other than Harry Potter and maybe everything, you know, can be treated as sacred, I do think that Harry Potter is just uniquely qualified and suited for that task.
Well, Vanessa, thank you so much for speaking with me.
Thank you so much, Molly. It was a pleasure.
Producer Molly Donahue there speaking with Vanessa Zoltan, co-host of the Harry Potter and the Sacred Text podcast. You can read more about the podcast at wordofmouthradio.org.